Welcome to The Lobbying Show, a podcast about the people in government relations, how they got into it, what their jobs entail, what works, and what doesn't. I'm your host, Jim O'Brien. Welcome back to another episode of The Lobbying Show. We hope you are all staying home and safe during this COVID-19 crisis. We are, I think, in like week four of this. It has engulfed the country. First and foremost, we're obviously concerned about everyone's health. The economy has taken an incredible hit, which is impacting families and people across the country. And we are thinking of them and just taking this crisis day by day and week by week. Today, we are bringing you Jeb Ory. Jeb is the CEO and co-founder of a company called Phone to Action, which we knew of because we had a client that used them, I think it was 2 years ago, and it was quite impressive. I remember at the time thinking that it was really a great company, great service. They made it very easy. We were not interacting with them, but our client was, and it was quite helpful. We had a lot of constituents, people using our client that we wanted to reach out to and have them reach out to their local representatives, and Phone Action helped us do that, and they made it a lot easier. And today, with everything going on and everything being remote, Phone Action, I would guess, has seen an incredible increase in the use of their service. And given that everything is remote, but yet Washington continues to work, they're coming back in a couple weeks to do a stimulus package that may be larger than the last one. And so obviously companies and people are being impacted, and they need to stay in touch with Congress and the executive branch. So with that introduction, I give you Jeb. And Jeb, you know, he doesn't have that much of an impressive resume. He attended Stanford, that little school there in California, I think University of Chicago. So Jeb, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's really exciting to be here.
So I thought I would just jump right in, Jeb. First, why don't you just tell us about Phone to Action?
Yeah, so we're the world's leading platform for grassroots advocacy and public affairs. We started the company 7 years ago, and I'd love to kind of walk you through and tell you how we all came to be. But our focus is on making it really easy for constituents that want to engage on issues to be able to do it. But to make it a business, we've turned into a software that we license to organizations, nonprofits, trade associations, and companies that want to mobilize people on issues. And we now have about 25% of all the messages that go to Congress go through Phone to Action.
Really? Wow, that's incredible. And are most of those, and what do most of those messages look like? Email, phone calls, or what, is it all phone?
The majority is emails, actually. No, about 90%, 95% of all the traffic that we process are emails. And, you know, for all those people that have worked in the Hill, you know the value of that constituent communication. Mm-hmm. What we have focused on is this balance between making it easy for our clients to drive quantity, because there's a tally and it's good to have those high numbers. But what actually gets read and spent more time on are those customized messages. So a lot of the innovation that we focus on is making it easy for constituents to share their thoughts and their actual stories, whether it's over a phone call, an email, or a tweet, and then give the organizations a way to like know how effective those calls to action and campaigns were. So customized messages and ability to easily track how effective the campaigns are.
So can you give us, walk us through how it would work? Let's say I had a widget company and I had, you know, widget employees all across the country, and Congress was taking up a bill on widgets and we needed to do an outreach, and we called you up and said, Jeb, can you help us? What would that look like?
That's a great, absolutely. We can definitely help you. Widgets are really important to the economy. We want to make sure that you can produce as many of them as possible. So we'd say, you know, first of all, who are your constituents? And you'd say, well, we have our employees, we have our consumers, we have our suppliers. Say, great. Well, what we will do is give you access to our platform that you can use to create beautiful, mobile responsive action pages. So the things that you normally would have to go and spend a lot of money with an expensive consultant, you can do through our platform on your own. And you can create what you can educate people on that customized landing page. You can educate them on why the issue is important to your company. And then all those individuals, so your employees or your suppliers, all they'd have to do if they want to send a message to Congress or to the state legislature is input their street address and their zip code. And we're able to look up and determine who their lawmakers are just from that information. And then we've gone through and diagrammed every single lawmaker in the country, how to reach that person, how to connect with them, what their email address is or what their Twitter handle is, what their phone numbers are, what the web forms you need to fill out are, all that kind of hard work. It's not sexy. We do on the back end. We break it down and make it really simple. So all the widget company has to do is input a little bit of information, just as easy as sending an email out of a MailChimp. You can create a landing page in Phone to Action, and then you can share it with your different stakeholder groups. They take action, and then we process those messages that go to the lawmakers. And that you've started that one-to-one communication between that employee or that supplier and that lawmaker. And that's ultimately what moves the dial.
And you can track that also, I assume?
Yeah, so the widget company would be able to track and know how many people engage and how effective their calls to action were.
Okay, and so if I am a widget employee in Kansas, and you were Jeb, the owner or whatever, you would send me an email and say, Jim, we're reaching out to our congresspeople. Here's the link, here's the landing page. I go in there, everything's, who my congressperson is already filled out. There may be some draft information that I can use and customize to what I want to say and then send that along. Is that generally how it works?
That's right. But I mean, maybe you're a shop floor worker and you don't really check email. We also are able to use text messaging, which gets 99% open rates and 10 to 15 times higher response rates than sending an email to,
So actually texting your congressperson.
No, texting you, the shop floor worker.
Go to email and take some action.
Yeah, that's right. Because, these days we're all kind of drowning in email, but there's an entire part of the workforce that may not use email first. They are mobile first, they're phone first. And those are the people that are still working today. The people that are working in stores are new heroes, right? People working in stores, working in Amazon shop floors. I mean, they are our nurses, our doctors, they're living in their phones. So our technology makes it really easy to activate people on their phones, in addition to in front of the computers like you and I today. But text is a really important channel. Now, we're not texting the congresspeople, we're texting the workers, the constituents, the people that are part of your employee base. And then they can interact on their phones or their computers with these beautiful landing pages that educate people and allow you to direct messages to lawmakers.
And you said 95% of it is email. Is it ever picking up, giving?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Phone is also an option.
Yeah, we process hundreds of thousands and millions of phone calls every year. But the vast majority of the messages that go to lawmakers are emails, just because it's a lower bar and it's easier for people to do. We tend to see the phone call campaigns clustered around major votes. And we saw, and one thing we should touch on is the massive spike in volume we saw in the week leading up to the CARES Act.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we saw about 1.2 million people used our software in that week. And we did a comparison and they sent about 2 million messages, 2 to 2.4 million messages to lawmakers over that time period, which is an explosion. Last year, we processed 22 million messages in the entire year, and we did it in 1 week, going back for the week leading up to the stimulus vote.
So in 1 week, you had how many messages?
Over 2.4 million messages.
And that was equal to about 1 year?
No. We did about 10% of our volume.
In 1 week?
In 1 week.
Got it. And tell us a little bit about your pricing structure.
So our pricing is tailored to meet the needs of our clients, and it ranges depending on the size of the organization and if they are a nonprofit or not. But the pricing can scale to be accessible for like a small state level nonprofit, all the way up to some of the biggest companies and associations in the world.
And so, but is it based on how many people we try to engage, how many people we try to leverage? Is it per month, per year?
It's a good question. It's annual pricing, and it kind of stair steps based on whether the organization is focused on state level issues.
Okay.
So if you're in Connecticut and you know you have a part-time legislature 6 months out of the year that they're operating, there's a different accessible price for you than it would be if you are a 50 state national nonprofit or you know a trade association that works on policy throughout and have hundreds of users. But I think there's also kind of a wide range of services we offer that also impacts pricing. We have our advocacy technology. We have communication. So we have email and texting communications. Think email automation, texting automation. We have different things like Facebook Messenger bots. And then we also have a stakeholder management module that our clients can use to keep track of interactions with lawmakers. So it's kind of a CRM for lobbyists. So there's a variety of tools that we offer, and there are lots of other ones too, that impact pricing. But if you're like a small state level organization, you may just need the advocacy tools. If you're a national organization that does work in 50 states, you may need a more complex solution. And then companies use a lot of the same technology as well. And they obviously, would not have access to the same nonprofit discounts as some of the nonprofits do.
So what percentage, Steve, that's interesting. And just so our listeners picked up on that, they're obviously doing state and federal work. It's very interesting that you said you have a CRM type model. I bet that's very helpful. What do you find a lot of your clients come in and they just have a campaign, they do a campaign, and then they stick around and keep using it for CRM to track all their, because boy, that'd be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have clients like that that come in for a specific need and then realize what they haven't been doing before. What also happens is that clients that used to work through agencies realize, hey, we can take some of this in ourselves because it's a self-service platform. Now, you mentioned before the service. We are entirely committed to making our clients successful. So we offer 24/7 chat service and kind of around the clock support to help our clients. But the powerful thing, Jim, is you can do it yourself from your computer. And this is a great example of how it's kind of the yin to the lobbying yang. The grassroots advocacy side helps the lobbyists because they need to be able to walk in and say, regular people care about this issue. So we will have clients that, their lobbyists will be at the state house and they're going to be, talking to the person in charge of correspondence, and they'll pull up emails that have been sent through the platform. They'll be working hand in hand with, the lawmakers because they need to see and they want to see these communications. So then, you start for maybe an initial campaign that becomes a much longer term engagement.
That's great. And then you'll know, who has reached out to that lawmaker and, that'd be very helpful. Very helpful.
So I can actually walk you through a specific example of one of our clients.
That'd be great.
I don't know if there's been an industry hit harder than the restaurants industry. So one of our clients is the National Restaurants Association. And, they represent the big chains, but also the small mom and pops that may have one or two or three locations. And, you can't go eat in a restaurant now. One of the kind of biggest changes, right? You can't go to a bar, can't go to a restaurant. Maybe you can go carry out, but it's a very different thing. So they saw this as a, huge impact on their industry and in our life, and everyone's lifestyle. So they sprang into action and they knew that they could drive massive volume. What they wanted to do was drive volume with customization. So we have a tool that helps people walk through and share a personal story. And it's more than just that form letter. It's a more involved process that invites people in, explains why we're asking for information. I don't know if you've ever used TurboTax, but imagine TurboTax for advocacy. No, we're not 100 pages, but there are a couple different pages we go through where we ask people to share information and we say why we're asking for this. Like, here's why we need your phone number. Here's why we need your email address, because you're going to send an email to a lawmaker. So it's a more iterative process. And it, then there are some questions that ask people to share anecdotes and stories. And it outputs a letter that is unique, that no one else in the world has. And then that letter goes to the lawmaker. So the Restaurants Association was able to mobilize all of their stakeholders across the country and generate 400,000 of these letters, which is a really big number.
Yeah.
Customized, personalized letters that people, you know, that cooks, that frontline, that bar backs, that bartenders, servers, you know, the people working in the field, in addition to the owners of the restaurants. But I mean, the most important messages are not from those owners. It's from the people whose jobs are on the line. Mm-hmm. And that's who the constituent voice that lawmakers really need to hear from. Those are the letters that get read on the floor. So they were able to generate 400,000 of these messages in about the span of 3 to 4 days. It was this amazing engagement because it was existential for the organization. And this was, you know, call it 5 to 10 times more engagement than they had ever seen before on an initiative. And the content that the lawmakers got was poignant. And it was part of what they used to be able to justify the grants and the life-saving, industry-saving money that went in for the restaurants industry. And they use kind of a full complement of our services, and there are many, you know, they have close to 50 state affiliates. Many of them, those state affiliates are also using our services, so they can have a different voice at the state level. But to us, that is, I get incredibly excited about that type of use because these are literally lives that are, you know, being impacted, and our clients are able to use our technology to save those. We have a couple other examples too that I'd be happy to talk about. I'll pause there, but I mean, that's something that has been very exciting for us to see because it's a clear example of how we're helping kind of broadly.
Yeah. Do you do political campaigns also?
We don't work with political campaigns. We don't work with candidates. We are nonpartisan, and we recognize that it's harder to, in this world, to mm-hmm. be viewed as a nonpartisan company if you are working with a campaign. Mm-hmm. It's harder on the employees. It's harder for the public to see, okay, well, if they're working with Democrats or Republicans, they're not partisan. We focus on issues, not on politics. And two other just quick client examples I'll mention. We also work with the American Nurses Association and the American College of Emergency Physicians. So the campaigns that they ran, the ER docs and the nurses, I mean, these are literally the front lines. And we were deeply honored to be able to support their work, where they were able to mobilize hundreds of thousands of people in support of doctors and nurses, trying to help them get personal protective equipment and things like that, that, you know, are literally life-saving. So it's been an exciting time with Infone to Action because there's been so much activity. Our employees are really connecting with these causes because I think now more than ever, the need is kind of apparent. You know, you got to have a mask when you walk into a store, and to know that, like, you know, our clients are running campaigns that are making these more available is very affirming.
And how many employees do you have, and where are you based?
We have 80 full-time employees, and we're based in Roslyn, Virginia. So Northern Virginia, right outside of DC.
Yep. And Jeb, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then from there, you went to Stanford University?
Yeah. So grew up in Dallas, went to Stanford, loved, I mean, gosh, I can't talk about a nicer 4 years than time in Palo Alto. Worked in San Francisco for a couple of years. And then I got a job with a British company that took me and my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, overseas for a couple of years, and got to work in Asia and Singapore and Shanghai. And I got the opportunity to have, you know, exposed to things and levels of kind of seniority in the company that I would not have gotten back in the US. And then we moved back, spent about 5 years in Chicago, a couple years in Sacramento, a year in Kansas City. And then we moved to DC about 7 years ago when Phone to Action started to take off.
And where did you get the idea to start Phone to Action, or how?
My co-founder, Jimena Hartsock. So Jimena was running advocacy campaigns for a national education advocacy group. And she had worked under the DC mayor, Adrian Fenty, back when Fenty was the mayor. And she had worked closely with Michelle Rhee, And when Michelle Rhee started Students First, which is a national education advocacy group, Jimena went with her. Jimena's job was to, with Students First, was to set up events and advocacy campaigns and generate, you know, trackable metrics, letters to lawmakers to help create opportunities for policy change. And Jimena was looking for a better tool, or a tool period, that would use people's GPS. Remember back in 2012, you know, only 25% of American adults had smartphones. It was not a foregone conclusion. But she, when she was a principal, she had seen the janitors of the school walking around with the newest iPhone. And her epiphany was that, like, this is going to be ubiquitous. And I shared the same sentiment. I was running a mobile CRM company at the time. My wife started working for Students First as a lobbyist. And she met Jimena and she said, oh, you should talk to Jeb because you have all these amazing ideas. Jeb is making apps. Maybe you guys can work together. So Jimena connected, or my wife connected me to Jimena. Jimena pitched this idea and I drew up a wireframe for her, gave it to her, said, here you go. I already have a company. We're making mobile CRM tools. It's great. I don't need another business. And I ran into Jimena about a month later. And she had the same napkin in her backpack that I had given her a month prior. And she hadn't done anything with it. She wasn't trying to start a company. She was looking for someone to help her solve her problem. She put on all these amazing events. She had lightning in a bottle, but then there was nothing for people to do after that event was over. She had them lining up at a computer, trying to get them to send an email using another kind of rudimentary platform at the time. And no one wanted to use some random person's computer. So my wife came back home on a Friday and she had been in Missouri and she had gotten bipartisan support for a bill. She's like, I got this Democrat to sign on. We're great. This is going to be amazing. Over the weekend, the other side of her issue mobilized and he got 50 emails from teachers that said they didn't want to, you know, didn't want him to vote on this bill a certain way. And he called her up on Monday and said, Leah, I can't support this. I can't do it. I can't go ahead. So the bill ended up getting killed in committee, which is what often happens. And what I saw from that, so Jimena had expressed to me like the use case and the flow, and my wife's experience showed me the value of those emails to a lawmaker over the course of a weekend. And then I just connected those two dots that, okay, this is real. This is a real opportunity. So Jimena and I got together, we made a prototype, and the rest is history. You know, it's not always been smooth, but you know, you look back and it's been a great path.
So at your core, are you a programmer?
I'm not. I'm much more of a business person. I love product. I love talking to customers. I mean, that's what I spend a lot of my time doing. I love thinking through how one to one can make three. In the early days I was doing a little bit on the website and on the code and the front end, but that is not in the database, but that's not where my primary skill set is.
And what challenges do you see that lie ahead for Phone to Action?
It's a great question. I mean, I think that first of all, we have to scale. I mean, there's huge demand for our services right now, and we have to kind of, you know, be able to scale our company to meet that demand. That is a very good problem to have, but that is one thing. There's always a race on talent. And we have to continue to hire and, you know, hire great engineers and great commercial people to help run the business. That's really important. We have just brought in a number of new executives, which are definitely helping and bringing in, you know, networks and best practices. And we have to keep our eyes focused on the future. You know, I think that the landscape is going to change. There may be new regulatory environments that come in and impact what we do. We have to be ready for that. But, you know, as we kind of grow to control a huge amount of the messages that go to lawmakers, there are other tools we're going to need to bring to market that are going to help the lawmakers make sense of some of those communications. And we need to be thinking about that.
What kind of tools are you thinking about?
I think that there are a lot of different things that we could do, but I've always been very attracted to transparency and how we can help lawmakers make sense of the communications they're getting. And, you know, are there things we can do to help them visually think about what is happening and what their constituents care about so they can make better decisions. Mm-hmm. Things along those lines, I think, are kind of exciting and big ideas. Ultimately, we want to be the platform that the entire world uses for advocacy. So there's an international component to the scale that we're going to have to do. That's exciting, but it also has, you know, kind of myriad challenges that we're going to need to overcome. Mm-hmm. How can we be, you know, in every lobbyist pocket? I think that's also something that we want to think about as our growth continues. So part of what I'm doing is, you know, rallying the company on what the opportunity is and how we're going to grow and scale and how we're going to look in the next years. But also, I mean, lawmakers are changing, you know, they're much more tech savvy. They're getting younger. So there are new platforms that we're looking at, new methods of communication, new ways to connect people and their lawmakers together. And if we're in a world where, you know, like the Utah legislature just started going remote, right? And they did some remote voting, I think 2 days ago, is that the future? You know, I do think that the nature of how lawmakers represent is going to be evolving. And our job is to stay in the forefront of that.
Is it a competitive niche that you're in?
Yes, we are in a very special place. I think that what we do is very special. There are other companies that are trying to compete with us that do certain things well. But our vision of being first and making the first platform that was scalable for organizations to use to create these amazing campaigns and then make that scalable has given us a huge advantage. We have knowledge, we have data that nobody else has that is going to help inform our product development, inform the insights we give our clients. But, you know, like any company, we have to stay, if we want to be successful next year, we have to be 3 years ahead, and we have to be thinking and executing in a way that no one else can catch us.
Well, Jeb, this has been great. Great to hear about the company. Great to hear about your how you came up with the idea. And I'm sure you are very, very busy. We appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Any final thoughts?
Jim, it's been great. I really appreciate your time and everything you do. And it's great to be a part of it. And, you know, I think we're in for, as we move into the fourth stimulus, it's going to be something that, as you said before, you know, could be bigger than the first ones, and it's going to be a really big deal. We are expecting a massive amount of advocacy coming in for that. It may dwarf the previous one. So be ready. And if you're a constituent listening, you know, you'll have an opportunity to reach out and engage. You should do that. It's really important right now for everyone's voice to be heard.
Yeah, you are going to be very, very busy. So to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And if you haven't already, you can sign up for our Monday morning email, Coffee with the Lobbying Show. You can do that at our website. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I said Twitter, on all the social media. So we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.